Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Rob, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Can you please pray for us tonight?
Yes, absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, we just come before you this evening seeking your truth, Father. Truth from your word. Lord, we know that you have so much you want to share with us and to teach us, Father. And Lord, I just pray that during this time, you bind any distractions, interruptions, anything that would hinder your word, Father. Clear our minds and let your spirit move in our hearts and our minds, speaking to us your truth as we get ready to dig into your word, Father. And let this only reflect your truth. Father, there are so many false teachings, so many false teachers and prophets these days, just as your scripture tells us, Lord, that we have to be careful. That's why it's so important to listen to your spirit, Father, and to seek your truth, and to study this ourselves, and to dig in, which we're doing here this evening. Thank you so much for this time. We ask you bless it, and guide us this evening. In the name of Jesus we pray, and by his name we're saved. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. That's good. That's good. We just praise the Lord tonight. Okay. For those of you that are joining us live, I just want you to do this for us and for yourself. We have, if you are with us by way of computer, please, if you have a question to ask, use the chat right below. Just use the chat, okay, and ask your question. Even though at the end of the teaching, we are going to unmute everyone so that anyone will ask whatever question they have. But during the time, if something pops up in your mind and you cannot wait for that time, hey, shoot us a chat and we'll get back to you. All right, please keep everything quiet around you because this is live, okay? Radio, phone, TV, etc. It will help us and that you will also focus on the teaching. For those of you that are with us by phone, here what we want you to do. If you have a question while the teaching is going on and you cannot wait to the end of the teaching, then take this number, 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Leave us a message. You can leave several messages there in terms of questions, and we're going to get back to you when we get back to you with your answer. Okay, so you will be unmuted at the end of this teaching. So hold on, at the end of it, we will unmute everyone, and you can make, if you have comment, a certain comment in a specific area, hey, you can make that comment. If you have a question, you can still do. But this is what we are asking of you. And just join us. Great teaching tonight. And may God bless all of us. All right. Let's read our text tonight. It's a little bit long, but it's good. All right. That is Genesis 35, beginning at verse 6 to 14. Now, please pick up your Bible. I have mine right in my hand. And let me start reading from there. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Okay, Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakoth. 9. After Jacob returned from Padan-Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel, which means house of God. Now, we're glad. Tonight, we are concluding, as we told you last week, we are concluding the whole study on Jacob. As I'm looking at it, we have 11 videos out there ready that we've been discussing, some 35 minutes, some 40 minutes, some 1 hour. We've been discussing on Jacob and how his leaving the promised land, going to Haran and staying there for many years and coming back. This is the concluding part of the study. Great. And thank you for joining us tonight. So, but here are the few points that we are going to recap tonight. We're not going to go through nearly everything we discussed, but we're going to recap quite a few things. All right. Number one, Jacob's blessing by Isaac, his departure, and his first encounter with God while on his way to Haran in a dream. We will look at that carefully. We'll discuss that with you. We'll recap that with you tonight, okay? His wedding, departure, and Laban's intention to capture him, which ended in a peace agreement. We're going to look at that. He got in that place, worked, and then there came a time he was returning home, and Laban followed him up. Okay, the third one is Jacob's preparation to meet Esau, his struggle with the angel of God, and the change of his name from Jacob to Israel. That, we're going to look at it again. His successful reconciliation with Esau, which lasted until the death of their father Isaac. We'll go through that tonight. All right, and last but not the least, Jacob's disobedience in stopping to Succoth and Shechem, and God's intervention to fulfill his vow at Bethel and the reunion with Isaac in Hebron. That these are major area tonight that we're gonna touch. All right. Now, what we want to do here is we want to look at the background of Jacob. Jacob was with his parents, but let's look at the background of Jacob's wedding. He was home. All right. But there were major family crisis within the family. Esau hated his brother and planned to kill him after their father's death. He said, "I'm going to kill my brother when our father died." It's all because he claimed and he believed that his brother stole his birthright. See, and because of this, the mother Rebekah gave a great counsel to Isaac, the husband, all right? And she said, "Look, it would be better for this son of ours to leave from here and go to my home, and so that at least two things, he would be getting out of the wrath of his brother, and the second thing, for him to be able to get a wife." Hey, Rob, do you have anything to add here?
Just to give a little bit of perspective, so where Isaac lived was in Gerar, which is near Beersheba.
Mm-hmm.
So southern Israel,
mm-hmm.
where Jacob journeyed to, back to where Abraham's was from,
mm-hmm.
where he was sent to get a wife. in Paran Aram, or Haran,
mm-hmm.
Which is on the border of modern-day Turkey and Syria. It's right. about 458 miles from his home.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a long journey.
Right.
And yeah. then thinking about where he stopped when he was supposed to be going back to Hebron, he stopped in Shechem,
mm-hmm.
which is roughly about 77 miles from where Hebron is.
Mm-hmm.
So much shorter distance. But I think this gives us a little bit of a perspective of how far he was wandering from the area. And this comes into play later as we read in the scripture when when God blesses Jacob and tells him about his descendants and the land. But I'll save that for later.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. You nailed it. Okay. Now, Isaac honored the counsel of his wife. So he called Jacob and blessed him and charged him not to take a wife among the Canaanites' women, but he should go home to his farm, to his kindred in order to get a wife. All right. So he blessed Jacob again to be the heir of God's promise. Isaac, in this sense, he's reconciled with what have happened already, because when the whole birthright episode came in, Isaac himself took side. But here he's now reconciling with God's will for his son. Sometimes there's certain things that come in, we do not understand it, or we want to do our own thing, but we can get on the right path. Now Isaac was doing this here. Here he told his son, look, you need to go and be there. And I think that the whole thing, they intended for him to stay away for just a few months, that they never knew exactly that he would have been there for many years. That was not in their mind, actually. But anyway, everything was planned by God, and God knew what he was doing and how he was working out things. So Jacob left his family, all right? He was on his journey. We don't know exactly, but something happened that he got in certain area and piled up rocks. He lied down and used it as a pillow, and he lied down and began to sleep. But Jacob had a dream. He sees a ladder, a stairway reaching from the earth to heaven. God identified himself as the God of the covenant promises, recognizes Jacob as the heir of the covenant promises. Now, here Jacob, he didn't know anything. He was going, and I'm sure he was thinking, worrying what's going on here. Well, how am I going to get back home the first time leaving his parents? That was a tough thing. But while he was sleeping, God came down to him and said, you are the chosen one. That was the first thing that Jacob came in contact with. And that's in Genesis 28, 16 to 22. When Jacob woke up, what happened? Rob?
Yes.
What happened when Jacob woke up? Something happened.
So Jacob made a promise.
Yeah.
That if he said to God, if you will provide and protect me, then you will be my God.
Right.
And it's important to remember, this is Jacob's first encounter with God. He's on the run. He's fleeing from his brother.
Yeah.
He's into another land. And this is a pivotal point, because this event and this place we will see referenced all throughout his life in the next couple chapters.
Yes. You're right. You are right. Now, Jake, this is his first encounter. And what did he do? He the very stone that he used as his pillow, he put it up as a memorial, anointed it, and said, well, this place is the house of God. He makes a vow unto God that when you take care of me and you bring me back, I'm going to come right back here and worship you. So Jacob left and went and reached to Haran and met the family. And what happened there, Rob?
Well, one key thing too here is the promise that God made to Jacob.
Yeah.
God said to him that, you know, the land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and thy seed. And if we see all of the children, all the sons that he had, all dwelled within what is modern day Israel, and a little bit over some of the borders,
right,
all through those areas. And what is modern Israel, that's the whole area that he wandered through.
Mm-hmm.
So as God spoke and promised, we see that God was the promise keeper of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. Thank you.
And then,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. You got a problem with the phone? Okay. Now, you're right. You're right. Now, Jacob got there, but then something happened. Jacob saw Laban's daughter, Rachel, and fell in love with her. And Jacob do what? Jacob just offered to work and serve his uncle for the daughter. And so that was, he said, all right, Laban said, well, look, you can work with me and I will pay you. Jacob said, no, I want to work for Rachel. And so they reached a great agreement, and he worked for Rachel for 7 years. All right. And that was the diary somehow. After the 7 years, Jacob requested Laban to give him his wife. Now, so the wedding. Laban invited all the people within the city to that wedding. And during the wedding, something different took place. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Are you there? What was the deception in the wedding, as we've been discussing?
Ah, well, so here we have his soon-to-be father-in-law.
Mm.
You know, Jacob has too much to drink. He goes to bed with what he believes is Rachel,
mm-hmm.
only to wake up the next morning to see Leah next to him. So, of course, he goes and confronts Laban to say, hey, what happened? Why is your other daughter here? Laban says, well, in our custom, in our culture,
that's right,
the oldest daughter must be married first. So now Jacob is getting an experience of being tricked, just like he did to his brother Esau.
Right.
He's receiving a similar set of consequences and experience. So, and he's now pledged himself for 7 years.
Yeah.
But yet, it's not the wife that he had asked for.
That was the major problem he had. And so, Jacob must obey why the culture. Hey, in our culture,
yes,
the first daughter must marry before the second.
And that's an important point, because here we see a very different approach from how Isaac was given his wife.
Right.
You know, Abraham arranged it for him, which was the biblical approach. Now here we see a cultural approach. He's going out seeking the wife himself. We don't see him, you know, praying for a wife.
No.
We see him praying to God and for God's guidance and protection, but not for a wife. And so here we see very much culture coming into the influence of it.
Right.
And we see now all through his life the effects that it's going to have on him and his family.
Yes. 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 Thank you. Now, here is the major problem. All right. So Jacob, Laban said, look, just finish your 1 week honeymoon. And when you, after the honeymoon, what happened? Then of course I will give you Rachel. So after the honeymoon, what happened? Jacob agreed to work 7 more years for Rachel. So in this case, there was no other wedding that took place, but that one wedding gave Jacob two wives. Gave Jacob two wives, gave Leah, the first daughter, and then after one week or 2 weeks, bam, Rachel was giving just from that one wedding. The issue that happened in the family was Rachel, the loved wife, was barren while Leah was blessed with children. That was the major problem. And because of that, there were a lot of fights within the family. The family would fight, and there was a lot of ketu. You know, and ketu is a language used by the we people of Liberia that is only restricted within marriage relationship, whereas a polygamous marriage, where a man have two, three wives, and these women are fighting among themselves to win the love of that man. This word ketu can only be used in that context alone. Now, Jacob loved Rachel. And Leah was having children, but it was a major ketu between the two sisters. So the names that were given to those children that were born within the family were all given ketu names. Like that, for example, when Reuben was born, let's see what the text say here, okay? So Leah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely seen my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." That was a ketunin. The Lord has seen. The Lord has seen. That was ketunin. When you look at Simeon, which is Leah's second son, God has heard that I'm not loved, that I got problem in the relationship. I mean, I just trying to get one or two or three, but when you go through all the names of Jacob, 12 sons, they are so keto names. And those names express the kind of feeling they had within the family relationship. All right, Rob, do you have anything to add? Because we're wrapping up tonight.
Yes, so we see as each of the names of the children, we see the strife and the competition between both of his wives. And then what do the wives do? Then they get their handmaids involved.
Yeah.
So Jacob wife with four wives, and then all of these sons, all with the K2 names.
Right.
So a lot of strife, a lot of competition, a lot of unhappiness in a sense.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of unhappiness. So that was the issue. That was an issue. Then Jacob worked for another 7 years, and then Laban, realizing the importance of Jacob, that his presence brought blessing, he asked him again and to work for us another time. And after Jacob had worked for 6 years, Jacob decided to leave and come home because things have changed. Problem was going on within the family. Laban's sons were stepping out. You know, they were seeing all sorts of things. So Jacob decided to leave, and he called his wives, told them what his God had told him. And one thing the women did, they all said, "Hey, once your God has spoken, do what your God has said." And so Jacob left, unknown to Laban, and moved off with his family. Now, when Laban came after, I think it was after 3 days before he realized that Jacob was not in Haran anymore. And then he had to chase them for 7 days. But here is the point. His intention was to have Jacob captured. But when he got closer to Jacob, in his dream, the God of Jacob revealed to him and said, "Look, Laban, I know what you want to do, but do not do anything to that young man, either bad or good." So that was a major dilemma for him. He didn't know. When he got there, Now he pretended that he was just following up. Enzo Rapp, do you have anything to add to this one here? Because it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yes, because we see, we have to remember, God is the promise keeper, and God had said that he would protect and provide for Jacob. So now here he's stirring in Laban's mind, saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, why are you after him? So
right
now, Laban, he makes a deal with himself about how he's going to handle the situation. And so when he confronts Jacob, Jacob says, yeah, I was scared that you were coming for me. And remember, the sons that he had were starting to feel angry and bitter towards Jacob.
Right.
So he had good reason to flee. Plus he, you know, and Jacob says, hey, you tricked me 11 times.
Yes.
You know, basically he's saying, I've had enough. So they both confront each other. They lay it all out. And then what do? They cut covenant
yes.
together and go their separate ways and right. peace.
And peace. And that was a favor. That was God's favor. And that covenant had to do with protecting each other. Today, Jacob, even though I followed you up, I had different intention. But hey, let us shake hands. And look, you can only cross here to come to me when I have problem. I can only cross here to come to you when you have problem to protect you, but not to harm you. So God brought peace between Jacob and who? And Laban. So the next thing was, the next person that Jacob had to face was his brother Esau. Now he sent message to let his brother know that he was on his way back home. And so when his brother heard it, his brother sent message back to him. And when the messenger came, the messenger told Jacob, your brother is coming with 400 men. Rob, what do you think that ran into Jacob's mind?
Well, we see in his actions, because he immediately divided his household and told them, okay, you stay back, and if anything happens, take off. So we see he's trembling. He's scared of his brother, and I'm sure he's thinking back to the times that he had tricked him.
Yeah.
And he knew that his brother had vowed to kill him. So now he's seeing it coming to fruition. He's scared. And we see this in the way he responds, taking a low position and then bowing several times, which was the culture.
Right.
Recognizing his brother's authority in the area, recognizing that he was a leader over this and submitting himself to him.
Right. Right. That you're right. You see, I mean, to his leadership, but scholar, some people, they don't understand that. They say, well, maybe Jacob was surrounding his heirship. That is not true. Jacob was recognizing and submitting to his brother because he was the leader in that area and he deserved that respect. See, so Jacob and his brother met, and I love what they did. When Jacob began to bow down 7 times, and that's a sign. He was bowing down to his brother 7 times. When his brother saw him coming with the 400 men, he left the men. The brother left his men. Esau left his men and came running to his brother. And two of them came together, and Esau was the first to hug Jacob, and they cried bitterly. I mean, I don't know those who were there what they saw, but that was something to see. You know, they reconcile, all right? And Esau also proposed to Jacob, hey, you need to join me, my brother, so that you will be under my protection. Because you just come in here, and you just come and join me, and I will protect you. So that is an indication that Esau was a very powerful man in that area, walking with 400 men, and then offering his brother protection. But we also know too that reconciliation was temporary. And so, Rob, because we did a study on that.
Right, right. Well, and so Jacob says, you know, go ahead, I will catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does he do? The next morning when he gets up,
oh,
he goes a different direction.
Right.
You know, and God had instructed them again to go back towards Bethel.
Yeah.
But what happens? He sojourns for a season in Shechem. He stops 77 miles short of where he's supposed to go. So that gets us up to chapter 34.
Right. Right. See, Jacob did. You're right. He did not follow. He did not follow his brother. But when we were doing the study on that, get the video. Listen to that video. That was Jacob not joining his brother. Was part of God's providence for Jacob. Because after the death of Isaac, Esau renewed his hostility against Jacob. So God himself knew God was leading Jacob in a way. But Jacob was somehow not going into the same direction God was pointing him. Because God wanted him to go to Bethel. And he stopped, he was stopping here and there, stopped to a little town for a while. All right. And when you read that in Genesis 34, 40, he stopped there instead of going to Bethel to fulfill the vow. He stopped in Sichem, in that little town, east of Jordan. He was kind of, one commentator, Gingrich said, I want to quote Gingrich here. He's, quote, he is a backsliding state. He is in a backsliding state. For here at Sichem, he builds a house for himself and booths for his cattle and remains for some time and does not go on to Canaan to obey God's command. 31:13, or on to Bethel to fulfill his vow. The green pastures of Sichem are to him more appealing than are the bleak wastelands of Bethel, unquote. This is what this author said. But after a while, Jacob then did another thing. He left that little town and then came to Shechem. Hey, Rob, what happened there when he left the little town instead of heading on to Bethel and stopped to another town? What happened in that town?
So his daughter started to admire the women in the town and the people in the town, wearing their clothes, embracing their customs. And as she was among them, the prince came out and raped her and went back and asked of Jacob to marry her. And so we have trouble that befell the family now.
Yeah.
And the sons, her two brothers, took it upon themselves to go rectify the situation. And so they told the prince and his father and all in the household to go get circumcised. It says, you cannot marry this woman unless you accept our customs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's customary for us to be circumcised. This is our covenant with God. And so they agree. And on the third day, when they're in the most pain, the two brothers went and slayed everyone in the household, slayed them all, and then took spoils from them. So they slayed all the men, and then they took, you know, jewelry, charms, gold, silver. We don't know what all the particulars were, but we can kind of guess as we read more and we see what things they have in their lives. In the next chapter.
Right. See, that was the problem. Now, in Shechem, in that town, Jacob did another thing. He went and bought a piece of property, built his house, and then what did he do? He built an altar. So he built an altar and called it the God of Israel. Now, God did not instruct him to build an altar in that strange land. He was not in Canaan yet. But he did that. So while he was there, he had his own altar. Problem came about. He had to sign an agreement to join a different culture. And so this didn't work out. In fact, at the time now, Jacob was not leading his house. Right, Rob? It was his children.
His correct. Right. Correct. He's failing to lead them in the proper ways. Well, and it started when they fled from Laban.
Right.
As if you remember, Rachel had taken the lucky charms.
Right.
And so we see more and more of the culture coming in and getting in a place where it's taking over the entire household.
That's true.
And so now here he's set up, he's building this altar, which by all appearances, it sounds like he's just rationalizing that, yeah, this is my God. I know I'm supposed to go on, but no, it's okay to be here. And
yeah,
and
so he's
embracing the area.
And that's the point, because God did not tell him to do that, but yeah, he did. And then outward circumstances tells him or anyone that if it is not God's will, you will see it through outward circumstances. Things are going to happen the way you don't expect them to happen. You need to think when something is happening in that light. So problem began to, he had an altar built unto his God, even though God did not tell him to do that. But something happened, his daughter went out, and as you have said, trouble happened. The children went and killed all the men in one city. His whole family was in jeopardy. Anything could have happened. But God was still with him. Though in his backsliding condition, God was still his God. God protected him. Now, I just love what happened here. So, after Jacob had done that for some time, then God spoke to him again. While he was in that city in Shechem, God commanded Jacob to go to Bethel. He said, Jacob, leave and go to Bethel and worship and build me an altar as you have promised. So Jacob, when Jacob heard the voice of God, what happened, Rob? Man, I love that story. When he heard it, what happened? How he felt?
So first thing he did was he arose.
Yes.
And then he called everyone in his household, all that were in his care. And what did he tell him? He said, get the lucky charms, the idols, these things that, you know, that are false gods, that
right.
are no good. Bring them all to me. And he took them and he buried them and hid them under an oak tree in a place where he knew they wouldn't be disturbed or bothered.
Right.
You know, so we see now he's taking charge. He's becoming the leader of his family again. He's casting everything out. He told them to go change their clothes, to purify themselves. He buries these as if they're dead nothings in a grave, with the oak tree being the grave marker, the tombstone, saying this is a memorial where we've left this past behind. We're turning our back from it, and we're going to go where God has commanded us to go.
Yes.
And
yes,
they
yes.
get up, they arise, and they go. Now, it's still... still suffering, still things happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, no guarantee of happiness and all, but life, they again move under God's providence
right.
and continue on.
And I just love the way Jacob, when he heard God, he was so excited and he was eager. We got to go. Once you have the intention of to obey God, God will make things happen. Now the children that were disobeying Jacob was in control again because he was obeying God. So the people began to what? Obey him. But the thing, yeah, thank you, Rob, man. You summarized the whole thing. Jacob left and came to Bethel. And what did he do? He fulfilled his vow that he made 20 years ago. And he calls the altar the God of Bethel. Now, not the God of Israel anymore, but he called it the God of Bethel. When he built the other one in Shechem and outside of Canaan, it was the God of what? Of Israel. But now the one in Bethel, he named it the God of Israel. What is the difference there, Rob?
Ah, so if you remember back when he wrestled with God.
Yeah.
He they wrestled all night. And he said, before you go, bless me. And his name was changed at that point. However, we know his name was changed to Israel. However, we don't see scripture using that term
mm-hmm.
because he's walking outside of God's will for a season. So in Genesis 34, we saw all the problems from his failed leadership
yeah.
occur. Then in 35, he arises, he heeds what God's instruction, and as he starts moving, now we see him being called Israel,
yes,
his new name, which denotes the change in character. He has now turned, the past is gone, and now his new destiny and the promise that was set now is going into effect.
Right, right. Thank you. Good. Now, the next thing is, now he was in God's will right now. Everything was going on, and God was using him. But then being in God's will does not necessarily mean we're not going to encounter any problem. All right? So the next thing that happened in 35:8, Deborah died. Deborah was the male servant for Rebecca. All right? She died. No, we don't. From Haran to traveling all the way, we don't get no record. But here, we got the understanding that Deborah was with them, and she died. That was a great sorrow for the family. I know this also reminded Jacob of his mom, because Jacob was away when Rebecca died. So, and then Rebecca's servant dying really renewed everything in Jacob's life, but that was a painful time for Jacob's life. It was very painful. I mean, he felt sorry about the whole thing, all right? But Jacob had to go. Now, God had reconfirmed to him. So this is what God did to him. God came, and the text we read, God appeared to Jacob and said, you are the one. You are no more Jacob, you are Israel. And the promise I made to Abraham, Isaac, I made that over to you, and your descendants will rule, will own the various communities and places that I have told your father, your grandfather, to your father. Those places will be owned by you. God came and assured Jacob, you know, and I just love that part. You know, I know Jacob was so excited about this revelation. Now, he reconfirmed that. God revealed that to him. And he said, I'm God Almighty. I'm God Almighty, the God who has power to fulfill his covenant promises. And I love the way God put it. He is God. He is the promise keeper. Don't forget that. And he is the one that has the power to fulfill the promises that he will make to you. You do not have the power. We see that right in the life of Jacob. Jacob didn't have the power. Jacob was running here and there, but God brought him to what he wanted him to do. So I just love that. All right. Jacob responded in a way that I love. All right. When Jacob heard the voice of God, after he was in sorrow for a few days about the death of Deborah, and God spoke to him. Oh, he was renewed. He had fresh, you know, he was very fresh. He was excited that God had spoken again, and God had assured him that he was the man. I know Jacob was excited when he had that vision. But what did he do? Jacob came and did the same thing. When God spoke to him, he erected a pillar, poured oil on it, and called the place Bethel for the second time. Only now he asked a drink offering, a thanks offering to his promise. He was thankful to God for doing this. When God appeared to him, Jacob was thankful to God. And he said, God, I just thank you for what you have done. I just glorify your name. Now, Robert, do you have any comment?
No, you nailed it. That's exactly what we see happening here. You know, God's spoken. You know, he strayed for a season. Now he's coming back around. He's arising. He's listening. He's buried the path. He's turned away. He's going forward. And now he's following the path that God had promised.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Right.
And we see now, as we progress, what's going to happen with his children and with his descendants as they go and they begin to fulfill the promise. You know, with, that God has made. So the most important thing is that he responded with action, and he heeded God's word, and that God is the promise keeper through all of this.
Yes.
God never left him, never failed him, never turned his back on him. He was always there for him.
Now, after this, Jacob said, now I'm going to reach to Hebron to see my father. Now, Jacob was not in God's will. God told him, look, this is this. You got to go and you got to go and do this and do that. But Jacob got on his way to Hebron. Something took place. His wife, his loved wife, Rachel, died in childbirth. It was a sad thing for Jacob. When you read Genesis 35, 16, 20. Now, Jacob was in God's will, but other things were happening in his life. And we need to learn that. We can be in God's will and things happen. It does not mean we are not in God's will. His loved wife died. I know Jacob was down because he loved this woman so dearly. But that woman had the only child that was born in the promised land. It was Benjamin. In fact, when the child was born, the man while she was dying named him Son of My Sorrow. But then the father said, no, he cannot be Son of My Sorrow, but he will be Son of My Right Hand. Means Benjamin. So there was a time of mourning for Jacob. All right. Jacob had this tough time. The next thing that happened to Jacob while he was on his way to Hebron to see his father, he stopped in a little town called Edda. And in that town, his first son committed incest with his concubine, with one of his concubines. That was another major thing in the culture for a son to do that. So Jacob began to encounter problems while he was on his way. The enemy was fighting, but Jacob determined to go and reach to where? To reach to Hebron to see his father. And Reuben committed incest with the earlier sons. That was terrible. With Bilhah, his father's, one of his wives. That was a terrible thing that you don't do in the culture. Not when Benjamin makes the sons of Jacob to be 12. All right. Now, on the final reunion at Hebron, Rob, you say you have a comment here. After they asked him for 20 years, he came and joined his father in Hebron, and that's almost a real blessing. You have a comment here because we're coming to the end of the whole thing here.
We've already covered it.
Right.
I was just going to reiterate that the importance of being active and heeding God's call when he reaches out and calls us.
Yes. Thank you. Now, okay. Now, let us. What is your concluding remark, Rob? Anything you want to conclude with before I come up with this one?
So, just one key thought that we have to be so careful of how much we allow culture to permeate our household.
Right.
Culture can be a great thing. But we need to make sure that it aligns with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are things in the culture, whether it's entertainment or music or philosophy, other things that come in and they supplant God's authority in our lives and replace Him or diminish His role, then we need to root those things out.
Yes.
Just as Jacob did. We need to bury them, burn them, destroy them, get rid of them, and cast them out and turn from those ways. And we need to be so careful because there's so many different things mm-hmm. that can creep in. As we talked about last week, you know, the amount of TV in America that our children watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their lifetime, they'll watch nearly 11 years of TV.
Yes.
That's a lot of culture.
That's a lot. And
in a lot of cases, most of the folks don't even read Scripture that much.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to have a stronger influence?
Culture.
Yes. And so this is why we must seek the truth. We must listen to the Spirit. We must obey his calling. And as soon as he's given us direction, we need to act and not delay.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Let me just get you that one or two or three points here on the whole life of Jacob as we conclude tonight. One, God's selection is not partiality. Note that. Let me say that again. God's selection or election is not partiality. It is his sovereignty. That means God does what he pleases. God selected Jacob while he was still in the womb and protected him in spite of his unfaithfulness because God is the promise keeper. Don't forget that. Jacob was running here and there, but God said, this is what I'm going to do through you. I am going to do this through you. He is the promise keeper. Don't forget that. The best word one can use in God's dealing with Jacob is grace. That's all. The best word we can use, it is God's grace. Grace is the only thing we see in the life of Jacob. Jacob's life was full of sinful deeds, domestic disunity, his delay in obeying God, his agreement with the Havites, with the people in Shechem, joining in a new culture to intermarriage, which was not God's will, and his hatred against Leah, his first wife. All these things were not holy things. But God had promised him, this is what I'm going to do through you. You will be what I want you to be. And so God, who promised him when he was in his mother's womb, God fulfilled his promise for him. The same can be done for you and myself today. I know you got a promise of God, and you're going through some tough things, and you think God is not with you. Hey, go back and view all the videos we have on Jacob. There are 12. All right, and you will see the love of God, the grace of God for those he called. All right, if you are with us tonight, I'm going to unmute everyone. And if you have questions, it's time. If you have comment, it's time. We want you to be open. We pray that you go back and read the other videos. But we unmute everyone, and if you have a question. You can ask if you are already send your question over to the phone line. We are going to look at it a little on after the teaching and get back to you. But any question out there? All right. Anyone? Okay. Now, let me say to those of you who are watching the video, if it is on our website, please do one thing. Leave us a comment. Below there, leave what you think about the video. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a comment as well. And then on YouTube, you have a little button there, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. You can press one. I mean, your decision. If you like it, if you like the video, press up. If you don't like the video, just press down. It's a message to us, okay? So we want you to do that for us. All right, next week, we're finished with Jacob, and we want to thank God for those of you that have been with us by way of replay and live. Thank you so much. But we are going to join. We're going to start studying King David next week. Oh, man. I love that guy. So King David will be our focus next week. Okay, Ralph, can you lead us in our final prayer?
Yes, sir. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we just thank you so much for your provision, for being the promise keeper, for guiding and protecting us, Father. Lord, I just pray that we continue to seek your truth and to draw closer to you, to root out anything that would hinder us from understanding you and from our walk with you, Father. Well, I just pray these things in the name of Jesus, and in his name, and through his blood that was shed, we are saved. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Thank you. And next week, join us. Bye-bye.